Jumbo Ekabo. Welcome to the Rich Immigrant Podcast. This podcast was created to be what the next immigrant needs to thrive and what we need as an immigrant community. In this podcast, we talk about attaining financial independence, living full lives in the new countries we call home, and we'll do all that while talking about topics that pertain to the immigrant community all over the world. We'll do that with grace, with truth, with love, and yes, with great background music. So please, dance into every podcast episode with me. I'm Dio Lateru, and I'm your host. Welcome.
Hey, 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 welcome back to the Rich Immigrant Podcast. This is episode 95. And before I get into the topic for today, you know, somebody else mentioned to me that, hey, why don't you make this a video podcast? And this is something that's been suggested to me quite a few times over the last maybe 2 years. And honestly, probably the podcast would be bigger if it was video and all that. But the truth is, I don't have the capacity for that. The way my life is set up, currently record this podcast typically around 6 a.m. Usually on weekends, sometimes on a weekday. This week, it is 6 a.m. on a weekday morning before I go to the office. And so I can't imagine having to do this, put on a face or makeup, have a production all set up. And honestly, for me, and I don't have a team or anything, so it would just elongate the process or just give me a reason to not show up. And so, you know, I think for me, it's just one of those things where, yes, I could do 20,000 things to make it more popular. But at this point, this is what I'm able to do with my capacity. And sometimes that's just where we are in life. But anyway, I'm not ranting. I'm just kind of explaining in case you've wondered why this is not a video podcast. That's why. Plus, I really enjoy having to do this sitting in my pajamas or whatever the case is and not having to put a face on or whatever the case is. It's nice. You know, I show up, you know, for so many other aspects of my life all dressed up. Please, let's do this one in our pajamas. Okay. Thank you. Or maybe if I ever did video, maybe I will be the one person in pajamas recording a podcast. Maybe that'll be my signature. So let's get into this week's episode, right? It is a pattern as old as time. Okay, maybe not as old as time, but as old as things have been around financially, cards and credits and all that stuff. And it's a pattern that I fell into as well, even though I was warned about it. And so what am I talking about? It's about, you know, making mistakes with initial credits, credit cards, you know, payday loans, other types of credit as an immigrant. When I was a freshman or so in college, I remember that my brother, who had been in the U.S. for a couple of years, called to warn me about credit cards and all that stuff. But did I listen? And if you're like me, you know, moving from a place where we didn't really have a credit system, right? And things were tight financially at the time. And here comes this solution, looking like a knight in shining armor, looking to save the day. A credit card, aka free money. But it's not free money, okay? I'll say that unless you move abroad to join a spouse or a family or someone that's already, you know, set up, or you're already somewhat financially literate or financially established or disciplined, you know, outside of people in those buckets, many of us fall into that credit card trap. And if we aren't careful, we can ruin our credit scores before we even understand its importance. And I know that this has happened to so many people. So, this episode of the podcast is inspired by a listener question. This listener, based in the UK, indicated that they've made mistakes and would love to know how to rebuild. And to be honest, I don't know details of this specific situation. And, you know, I will speak in general terms. I'll also highlight that I also talked about, you know, improving credit in season 2, episode 8 of the podcast. So listen to those two episodes as I'll try not to repeat some things that I talked about on that episode. Now, in countries like the US, Canada, the UK, we have credit scores and there are, you know, quite a few similarities in how they work in general. So I'll speak generally and where there are specific nuances in the UK that I know of because of this listener, I'll call that out. So in the US, we have what is called a FICO score. And so a FICO score is your credit score from the Universal Credit Scoring System. And in the US, we have credit reports from 3 credit bureaus. And those credit bureaus collect your information about your credit, your payment history, all of that stuff. And they're constantly collecting your information to put it together. Now, in the UK, they also have 3 credit reporting agencies called CRAs, but they don't have a universal scoring system. And so the 3 agencies are the same in the US and the UK. They're Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. But don't worry, if you're moving countries, your score in one country in the UK does not affect the US or vice versa. So now, you know, how do they even know who you are? In the US, your main identifier is your social security number. And in the UK, it is the information from your electoral office register. I know this podcast is already sounding serious, but hey, sometimes we have to talk about and explain how these things work so that, you know, we're all getting on the same page. I think this information is just background foundational knowledge for the rest of the things I'm going to talk about. And so they use this information to collect data about your credit history, your payment history, how much you owe, the different types of debt you have, whether it's credit cards, student loans, mortgage, your utilization to say, okay, you are allowed, you know, £100,000 of credits, but you have used £30,000 or £99,000. That's utilization. They track any information on bankruptcy, or just your credit application history, and so on. One thing I want to highlight, though, is that the credit system does not count your income or your savings. It doesn't matter if you have $1 million. If you have, you know, ruined your credits, you have ruined your credits. That's it. And so, you know, the UK range for credit scoring by Experian, which I hear is the most popular one, is 0 to 999, while Equifax UK is 0 to 700. And so I'll explain, using the Experian one, what the ranges mean. And in my last episode, I explained the ranges for the US system, so I'm not going to do that. So UK, 0 to 560 is very poor. 561 to 720 is poor. 721 to 880, fair. 881 to 960, good. 961 to 999, very good. And then from a US standpoint, the scoring is from 0 to 850. Like I said, I explained in the last episode, so I wouldn't go into details, but please check that out. And why do credit scores even matter? The thing is that in a lot of developed countries, right, or first world countries, your credit score reflects how lenders see you. And if you have a low credit score, that means that there's information on your credit report that lenders see negatively, or you don't have history at all. But in this case, we're talking about someone that has, you know, negative things on their credit report. And so, for example, if you have late payments, that will make lenders feel like, you know, you will not pay them on time, so your score will be lower to reflect this. And there are many factors that affect your score, and some more than others. And things like bankruptcy will lower your score, right? More than one late payment would lower your score. So there's also the weight of the event that would differ depending on what you have in your history. And a good credit score shows you've managed credit well in the past, you've repaid a loan or credit card on time. A low or bad credit score means you may not get approved, or you may get approved, but the terms are just really unfavorable. So for example, you know, if I have good credits, I could get approved for, you know, a loan at, you know, 7%, while somebody with bad credit could get the same amount of a loan for, you know, 10% or 12%. And that's such a big impact because your monthly payments are so much higher and it could make it unaffordable for you. And it's just taking more of your money each month in payments, right? And so, you know, let's say you've made a mistake. What do you do, right? You know, going back to my initial warning, right? You know, the warning that credit cards can be a trap kind of always remained in the back of my mind. But I still applied for a credit card as soon as I could. And I carried a balance for the next 6 years. But the good thing is I almost always made at least the minimum payments. And, you know, for many of us that come from countries that don't have credit systems, the allure of a credit card is real, or other loans, it can feel like free money. Like, oh, I just apply and they give me access to this and I swipe this card and it's all good. Wow. But when you look at that credit card statement and you look at your balance and you look at how much they're actually going to collect from you over time, you see that it's not free money. And in some many cases, you're paying more than double of what they, quote unquote, what they loaned you, and you have to pay that interest, right? Let's get into, you know, how you can improve your credit score. And here I'm going to talk about 10 steps. So number one is know where you are today. Check your credit report, check your credit score. And so in the US, you can go to annualcreditreport.com. I actually don't know where you check it in the UK, but I will find out and share in my stories or update the show notes for this later today. So yes, check that credit report, check that score, know what your score is. This is your day zero. Your credit report should be free, but you may have to pay a small fee to see your credit score. These days, many financial institutions offer to, you know, update you on your credit score every month. So for example, my bank shows me my credit score every month, so I don't have to pay for that. But your credit report shows your detail of all the loans you have, your payment history, and you can use that to see if there's anything you disagree with. So which takes me to point number two, report any errors in your credit report as soon as possible. So for example, you look at your credit report, you find that there's a loan you never took or something of the sort, call and report ASAP, because that could help your credit score. Then number three, we're getting into, you know, ways to fix your credit score based on mistakes you've made in the past. I know sometimes if you're used to using the credit card or whatever the case is, if discipline is a problem, some people go through some extremes, and you can do that if that will help you, right? Cut up the credit card, but don't cancel it yet. Just cut it up so you have nothing to swipe, nothing to fall into the temptation of swiping, right? Once you do that, you cannot add to the balance. You cannot increase the balance, right? Don't cancel it yet, because as you start to pay it down, you do get rewarded for positive behavior. So you want to get that credit for your positive behavior of paying down the balance without increasing it. And then that takes us to number four. If you haven't been doing it before, start making on-time payments without fail. Like if you've already made mistakes, you cannot, absolutely cannot skip this step. Start making payments on time. If you can, either use direct debits or automatic payments, set that up and keep it out of your hands, right? Set it up for days when you know maybe it's after you got paid or something. Even if it is the minimum payment, make all payments on time. Now, going to number five on making extra payments above the minimum payment. So the only way to, you know, if you already have high utilization on your credit card or whatever credit option you have, you want to pay that down. And the only way to do that is by paying extra on top of the required minimum payments. Like I said, utilization is the percentage of your credit card balance that you've actually used. So if you're allowed £900 and your balance is £800, that is high utilization and is driving your credit score down. And so if you can, please keep your utilization at 30% or less. 10% is even better, but hey, we're making slow progress here. So aim for no higher than 30%. So if you have a credit card, legit, don't think about, oh, I have $10,000, I can spend up to $10,000. No, if you want to keep a good credit score, don't spend more than the $3,000. And what if you have to make a big purchase and you plan to pay it off immediately? You can, but here's the catch. Right? Every month, your credit card company reports to the credit agencies. And so if you say you had $10,000 and you spend $8,000, for example, and then after that $8,000 is spent, you don't pay it until you get the next month's statement. Well, when they report to the bureau, they will show that you used 80% utilization. And for that month or two, your credit score will likely drop because you have high utilization. So what you can do is to pay down that big purchase before your actual payment date. That's something you can do. Otherwise, you know, if the next month you pay it off, utilization goes down again, then your credit score will improve again. So I would say if you don't have any big reason to want to keep your credit score high, then you could wait. But if it does matter to you to not have that drop in credit score, then if you make a big purchase, pay it off before the actual due date. And that's the way to go around that. Okay. Like I said, number five, start making extra payments, because as you're doing that, you're actually reducing the balance that you owe faster. Number six, this is my personal opinion, and I should caveat, everything here is not financial advice. It's for educational purposes and entertainment purposes only. Don't sue me. Okay. Number six, avoid most credit repair agencies, because honestly, for 99% of us, they overcharge for something that we can do by ourselves for free. And I really personally have a problem with people that are struggling to build credit, then being charged on top of it for that service. To me, I feel like it's like, what an irony. but anyway, you know, I haven't looked at all credit, you know, fixing agencies in the world, but at least I've seen a couple here and there. And I think for the most part, with a little bit of research, you can do it yourself. All right, number seven, stop making additional credit applications, especially if they are hard, what we call hard inquiries. And so let your credit breathe, right? A hard credit inquiry happens when you apply for a new line of credit. So I'm applying for a mortgage. I'm applying for a new credit card. I'm applying for a personal loan. Whatever the case is, I'm applying for a real new line of credit of some sort, right? And the number of credit inquiries you complete within a given time accounts for 10% of your credit score. And in this case, the less inquiries, the better your score, because it shows that you're not desperate for credit, right? Because, for example, let's say I'm applying and I apply to, you know, Lloyds Bank for a credit card. They deny me this week. And then next week, I go to NatWest and apply. They deny me. And then I go to, I don't know, whatever the next bank is, Bank of America. That shows in my credit history that I've been applying a lot and I've been getting denied. And even if I was getting accepted, just the fact that you're doing a lot of applications in a short period of time can show desperation and will reduce your score. Another thing is that in either country, UK, US, Canada, you must give your consent for your credit score or report to be pulled by a third party or bank or even landlords, right? And so it's called a hard pull on your credit. So you must give your consent. A pro tip is when you're applying for something, always ask if it's a hard inquiry or a soft inquiry. A soft inquiry would not hurt. And so a soft inquiry is one where you or some party reviews your credit scores or report for educational purposes and not to make a lending decision. And so sometimes I would say you can ask for a soft pull to just see, oh, if I were to, you know, be looking to apply, would I even be considered for approval before you actually apply, right? So that is tip number 7. And then number 8 is just something that I wanted to clarify because there's a bit of a difference between the UK and the US. So in the UK, there's a concept of financial associates. And so you want to choose your financial associates wisely. Why? First, an associate is someone you share a bank account or credit card account or credit account with. It can be a spouse or someone else. In the UK, lenders can take your financial associate's behavior into account even when you're applying for credit on your own. And so that means, so let's say you're trying to rebuild your credit, but you're associated with someone with good credit, I think they could take that into account and that may be a good thing for you. However, if the flip side is the case, where you're trying to build your credit, but the person you're associated with financially is not making the right choices, that does not help your case. So if it's one way you need to break that association or you can, then consider doing that. All right. In the U.S., how does that work? In the U.S., let's say you decide to co-sign a loan for someone, right? The person that's a co-signer with you or co-signee with you, their behavior is only considered on the joint loan, right? It's not just their behavior in general, like the UK. It's only considered on the thing that you are both, the credit that you've both taken together. So I think that's probably a little bit better in the US than the UK. All right. Now going into number 9, this is a UK specific tip, register to vote. And this is, I think, the simplest way to at least score some points on your credit score. So I understand that by making sure your address is up to date on the electoral roll, it helps lenders confirm your identity and location, and it can improve your credit score by up to 50 points. And if you're trying to rebuild, you want all the points you can get, I would make sure that this is taken care of. All right, number 10, the last tip I'm going to give, and then there are some bonuses, is, you know, if you can, make your rent count. And so in the UK, right, if you live in council or social housing, you can ask your landlord to report the rental payments to a free scheme called the Rental Exchange. And that information will then appear on your Experian credit report. So that's a good way to establish or show your credit worthiness. Now, if you say you don't live in council or social housing, tenants renting through a private landlord or letting agent can also ask the agent or landlord to report rental payments to the Rental Exchange, or you can self-report via a service called Credit Ladder, but that one costs $5 a month. But you can access it for free if you choose one agency. And based on what I've researched, Experian is the most popular, so you can do it for free with just one credit agency. And then those are the 10 tips I wanted to share. But some bonus tips is, you know, if your credit is, you know, struggling and you want to rebuild it back, you know, please, please, please try not to be taking on more credit. Try not to be swiping your card. And I understand because, you know, I think in a personal finance space, sometimes we can just assume that sometimes people spend for lack of discipline. And I know that that is the case with many people, but that is not the case with everyone. Because I know that I have been in cases where I had to choose the cash in my bank account could only cover rent. And so for my groceries, I had no choice but to put it on my credit card. And I know that there might be people in their journey that may be in this situation. So I want to make sure that I'm clear that I'm not bashing you for your choices. I understand that sometimes you may have nowhere else to go and this may be a temporary solution. But I also think that sometimes we stop seeing it as a temporary solution and see it as the solution. You don't always have to carry a credit balance and be making the minimum payment. You can build back out and come out of the hole of credit card debt or payday loans or, you know, any of those things that we may have to resort to when we don't have a choice. And so please, whatever you can do to stop increasing what you owe, please do that. You know, as I wrap up this episode, I want to highlight that rebuilding credit takes time and it takes dedication. But with patience and a sound strategy in place, consistently in place, you can make payments for 3 months and then, you know, forget the fourth month. You're not going to make progress, right? You know, with a good strategy, consistent strategy in place, you can improve the elements that are dragging your score down. So get that report today, this weekend, look at what it is that's dragging it down and can come up with a plan using the tips I've shared to rebuild and improve those elements. And the hard truth is that for now, you may have to put things like buying a house on hold or buying a car on hold until you qualify for reasonable credits or qualify for more reasonable terms. Because there's no point getting a car loan and paying 20% interest. That is insane, right? And so know that it can be done. Know that I'm rooting for you to get your money habits right and to rebuild your credit. And the last thing I'll say is that one mistake does not change your financial life. I also want to clarify that. So long as you have good credit, you will get good terms. You don't have to have a perfect score. I think I shared in my stories this week about how my credit score jumped by 35 points when I just checked my monthly scoring that my bank shows me. And it was because 7 years ago, I missed making a payment on my credit card, and I missed it for 2 months because I didn't know there was a charge put on the card that I wasn't using. By the time I found out and tried to call to take it off, they said it was too late. There's a window within which you could call. I did not know that. And so I've had one late payment on my credit history for years. And so in the US, I could never break past a certain score range, but I got the best, you know, I still had very good credits and I still got some of the best terms when I was applying for my mortgage. And so one mistake does not ruin your credits. And now I have an almost perfect credit score, which I'm not looking for new credit, but it's nice to know that that's there. So I just want to highlight that one mistake will not ruin your financial life. But if you're looking to rebuild, know that I'm rooting for you. Take it one step at a time. The best time to rebuild your credit is when you don't need it. So please don't sit and say, I'm not buying a house today, blah, blah, blah. But you may want to buy a house in 2 years. And what you do now sets you up to have a smoother run when that time comes. All right. Thanks for listening. And I will be back next week with a less technical topic. So hope this brings a good kind of mix. Last week, it was just a let's catch up. And this week, it's a bit more serious. But I'll see you next week. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for welcoming me back after being away for 3-4 months. And you guys still showed up and played the podcast. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Hey there. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Rich Immigrant Podcast. Before you go, I'd like you to know that there will always be room for you at this table. And as I wrap this up, I'd like to ask for your help with a few things to help support and amplify the message of the podcast. First, please subscribe. Click the subscribe button and that way you're notified of new episodes. Second, if you enjoyed this episode, please rate and review the podcast. That way you're signaling to Apple that the content here is, you know what? Popping! And you amplify our message to other potential listeners. And last but not least, please follow us at Instagram at The Rich Immigrant. And as you go out into the world, I hope that you're encouraged to show up and live fully in whatever country you've chosen to call home. Ciao, bye, au revoir. See you next time.